All right. Good evening. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Glad to see each and every one of you here tonight. You know, it's always a good thing when you can come into the house of the Lord. You know, you give of yourself and you praise God. And, you know, I've really been kind of thinking about that and just, I don't know, you ever just go through periods where you're like, you know, of great joy and you want to praise God, and then you go through great periods of not so much joy and you find it hard to praise God. See, I've been there, you know, and it's been a wild ride this year for everybody that's, you know, some days you're riding the top of the mountain and some days what, you're just holding on for dear life? Yeah, been there. And I was preparing for tonight. I was looking at a section. There's a chapter in 2 Samuel that I want to look at tonight. It's 2 Samuel chapter 6. We're going to look at the whole chapter. And this is the story of David. And he's going and he's getting the Ark of the Covenant. Now, everybody know what that is? The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of God. It's the physical manifestation. It's when they left, when the Israelites left Egypt, they built this golden box with these angels on top, and it was the mercy seat. It was the physical manifestation of God on earth. They carried it everywhere they went, but along the line, they got off. They got off of where they should be and where they were, the direction that God had for them. And this group, the Philistines, they whipped them, and they took the ark, right? So the Ark of the Covenant was outside of the Israelites' hands for years, for a significant amount of time. So the presence, the physical presence of God was not with them. He was off somewhere else. And the Philistines, there's a lot that happened. It's in the Bible, just all the stuff that happened. And there was a bunch of plagues that followed it over to where it shouldn't have been. And the Philistines, they got tired of having that, so they stuck it on a cart and pushed it back to Israel. I always think that's great. You know, they just, I've had enough of God's too much for us. We don't want that. We're gonna push it back to where it came from, right? So we pick up the story, and David is going to get the ark. You know, the Philistines just pushed it back, and they're like, hey, y'all take this thing back. Here's some extra gifts so God doesn't strike us anymore. So he's going to pick it up, and he's really excited. So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, David gathered all of the elite troops of Israel, 30,000 in all, and he led them to Bala of Judah to bring back the Ark of God. So he gets this huge group of people, 30,000 people, to go pick up this little box, because it was much more than a box. It was the presence of God. So he goes, and in verse 5, it says, all of the people were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, harps, tambourines, cymbals, all of this stuff. There's this huge procession because they're going to get the presence back. They're going to get God back, the physical things of him. So they go, and they get ahead of themselves, and a guy dies. They get ahead. You know, you ever notice that? You get ahead of God, something bad always happens. This guy, a guy named Uzzah, lost his life. He dead. Well, so David, he leaves it where it's at and goes, okay, we're going to come back to this. We're going to reassess the situation. And he waits a couple months and he goes back, and we're going to pick this story up in verse 11. So the ark remained where it was, and the Lord blessed Obedim and his entire household, the guy that was kind of hanging on to it for a couple months. So verse 12, it says, then King David was told, the Lord has blessed this household and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went there and he brought the Ark of God from the house of Obedim to the city of David with great celebration. This celebration was even bigger than the last one. In First Chronicles 15, it details all about it. There's 8 different choirs, all these animals that they're bringing with them for sacrifices. It like the entire country is shut down for them to go and get this. Okay? So they go, and he gets it. In verse 13, and after the men who were carrying the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. Verse 14, it says this, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. It says he danced before the Lord with all of his might. Everything that he had in him, all the joy and the love for God that was inside, there was so much of it that it had to come out. And this man was dancing. And look, it may not have been pretty. Y'all, anybody in here a good dancer? Anybody a bad dancer? Kayla? I see you. See, it doesn't matter. He was dancing. The joy of the Lord overtook him, and he was dancing with all of his might. Everything that was in him, and it says he was wearing a priestly garment. In the New Living Translation, it says, he was wearing a linen ephod. Now, why is that important? What he did when he began to praise God is he stripped off all of the kingly robes, all of the jewelry and all of the ornamentation of being a king, and he put on a simple linen garment that the priest wore. See, he humbled himself. He pulled everything off and said, it's not about me right now. Amen. It's not about me anymore. I want to praise God. It's all about him. I'm pulling myself out of the way. Now get that. He's pulling himself out. He's stripping all of the heavy garments, all the things that would weigh him down, and he's humbling himself and praising God. Now, so he did this. He's going all out. You know, I'm sure arms are flying everywhere, feet are flying everywhere. He's just getting after it, right? I can just see it. He's just being crazy, loving on his God. But what happens? So David and all of the people of Israel brought the ark to the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. And in verse 16 it says, but as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. So she's up in the palace. She's looking down at all of this stuff. She's not in this, but she's looking down upon it. And what does it say? It says, when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. It means she despised him in her heart. She looked on that outward display of Jesus, of celebration of God, and she was mad. She goes, this man is foolish. This guy is acting dumb. So they have this. They have the big sacrifices and everything. And pick it up in verse 20. It says, when David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul. Look at that. When they name her, they don't say the wife of David. They're saying the daughter of Saul. The daughter of Saul. Over and over, anytime she's talked about, she's not the wife of David. She's not in one accord with David. She's the daughter of Saul. She's the continuation of what Saul was in the land. She was the continuation of the arrogance and the haughtiness and the complete opposite and the complete lack of what God is. She was the continuation of that line. See, that's important. See, they always refer to her as that, as being part of Paul, being part of Saul, not being part of David. But, so he returned home. Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him, and she said in disgust, how distinguished the king of Israel looked today. See, there was even sarcasm in the Bible, right? She says, how distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do. It's not good. She was looking at him and saying, you are being vulgar in your love for God. See, as I begin to study that, you know, the first thing I think of is this man's so excited about Jesus, or, you know, about God, he's running around naked. That's the first thing I thought of when I was looking at that. I was like, now that is some love for God. The original streaker. Just, whoo! I love Jesus. I don't want anything to hold me back. But unfortunately, that's not what happened. I was diving a little bit more into it. And what she's trying to say here is, when he stripped himself of his status. See, back then, dressing like anything less than your status, your station in life, was considered vulgar and obscene. It was terrible for a person to be dressed lower than their status, because back then it was, what, all about me? What do I look like? I have all of this stuff, so I'm better than you. That was thousands of years ago, and unfortunately, we're still like that, you know? But that's what she was saying. See, vulgarity here is meaning lack of refinement. She had that better than you attitude. And she was criticizing his devotion for God and saying, you know what? Because you're worshiping him without abandon, you're looking foolish. You're looking retarded. But how does David respond? How does he respond? In verse 21, it says, David retorted to Michal, I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all of his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls that you mentioned will indeed think that I am distinguished. So his response wasn't, well, you're mad at me, I'm going to be mad back at you. He's saying, no, my response, I'm not going to return anger for anger, but I'm not going to compromise. See, in the New Living Translation, it says, I'm willing to be even more undignified. I'm willing to do more than what I've done just to praise my God. No matter what you have to say. Because see, what he's saying there, she's saying, you're looking dumb and all these people are going to think bad about you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to not think very well of you. But he didn't worry about that. He says, I'm willing to act more foolish and they will see why I dance. Because see, the deal is, the why is more important than the how. Why you're doing something is always more important than how you're doing it. See, if you're praising God, it doesn't matter if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. If you're praising God, it doesn't matter if you can't keep a beat to save your life. I'm looking at my wife on that one. It doesn't matter if you dance like a dying fish. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you look like. It matters why you're doing it. It matters why. The why is always more important. And he said, look, I'm willing to look even more foolish. You just think I've looked foolish. I can do better. And it sums it up. In verse 23, it ends off the story. It says, so Michal, the daughter of Saul. There again, she's called the daughter of Saul. Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life. Why is that important? She remained childless. It means she wasn't fruitful. Back in those days, if you couldn't have a baby, you were barren. You were worthless as a woman, as a person. See, her life was without fruit. She had nothing to show for all that hate that she was spitting out. Her whole life was miserable. So, what can we learn from all of this? The very first thing that we can learn from all of this is praise God no matter what you look like. Praise God no matter what you look like. Sing to him. Clap for him. Love on him no matter what you look like. If you got a beat or not. If you got a solo voice. You should be singing solo. Nobody hears you. Eh? You got a song in your heart? Don't leave it there. Let it sing out. What else can we learn from this? Whenever you have a victory in your life, you will always, I guarantee you, you will always, always, always have someone to criticize you. No matter how high you've gone, no matter what obstacle you've overcome, someone's going to have a problem with it. Someone's going to say something. But you know what? It don't matter. Someone's going to have a problem. And usually, that person that's got a problem, they're lacking something in their own life. They're lacking victory in their own life. They're lacking a touch of God in their own life. And you know, misery loves company, right? They want to make you as miserable as they are, as fruitless as they are, as barren as they are. See, don't give in to it. Don't give in to it. Because her scorn betrayed her condition of her heart. We can see what she's got and what she lacks. See, she was barren physically. She was barren spiritually also. And there's a lot of barren people in the world that want to take your fruit. They want to take your fruit. The victory that you've worked hard with God for. They want to take it away and cheapen it. Don't let them. Don't let them. See, what you do, you respond. You respond like my girl T-Swift, little Taylor Swift. What's that song? Haters gonna hate, hate, hate. What does she say? Shake it off. Shake it off. Don't worry about them. Shake it off. Don't worry. Be like David. Say, that's fine. You're gonna rain on my parade, I'll dance in the rain. You got a problem with me? I'm going to praise God a little bit harder. I'm going to go a little bit farther in the things of God. I take that and I build on that. And I say, you can't stop me. I'm willing to be even more undignified for my God. What else can we learn from this? Truly following God requires us to strip some things off of our lives, to get some things out. And just like David had to strip his kingly robes and all of the heavy garments that was weighing him down to praise God, sometimes we got to do that in our own life, you know? Because there's things that get in our way. We can use them as an excuse, or we can use them as a stepping stone to God. There's things that get in our way. Don't get tripped up. Sometimes we got to strip off our worry of other people. You know? Sometimes we got to stop worrying about what everybody else has to think. Because everybody's got an opinion. Don't mean you got to listen to it. Okay? Because if you wouldn't take advice from somebody, why are you taking criticism from them? If you're not willing to take advice, if you're not going to take life advice from them, don't take hate from them either. Leave that crap behind. Stop it. And realize that it's not all about me, it's about God. Because the amazing thing with the cross is it's all level ground. In front of the cross of Jesus. It's all level ground. We're all on the same level. It doesn't matter if you've got all the money or none of the money. Jesus still loves you the same. And our love for God should be the same if we've got all the money or if we've got none of the money. That's the thing. See? No matter your background, no matter what you've been through, you've got a choice. You can get, when things are happening, you can get bitter like Michael the daughter of Saul, you can keep that going, or you can realize that you're a daughter and a son of the Most High God. So the question is, the question we find ourselves with is, what's holding us back from God? What's holding us back from being shameless before Him? Is it pride? Worrying about what other people got? What I ain't got? Is it fear? God is calling us to love Him without abandon. And He promises us in Matthew 6 and 33. Will you put that up, buddy? Matthew 6, 33. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. See, that's what David was doing. Didn't matter that his wife was coming at him. Didn't matter who had something to say about his love for God. Doesn't matter. He says, it says there, seek the kingdom of God above it all. Above all of that stuff. Love Him without abandon. Put Him first and live righteously. And what's the promise there? And He will give you everything that you need. The haters are going to get taken care of. They're going to be barren. They're not going to have fruit in their life. They're going to be just as miserable over there. But God, He promises us, I will give you everything. I will walk before you. I will be there in the time of trouble. It doesn't matter if you do that one thing. Seek Me first. Seek the things of God first. And that's what I want to encourage you guys with today. Is as you go about your life, seek God first and don't let anybody talk bad about you. Don't let anybody steal your victory. Respond back to them and say, I'm willing to look even more foolish for my God. I'm willing to dance like no one is looking. I'm willing to sing even if I can't. I'm willing to love my God more than anything else in the world. Because that's all that matters. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I thank You for each and every person here. Lord, I ask that You would continue to draw our hearts to You. And help us to live a life of praise and reckless abandon for You, God. Help us to not worry about the haters, but to praise You anyway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.